Baha'u'llah was the teacher and the founder of the Baha'i faith. He and his teachings are believed to be prophesied in Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and other religions. Baha'u'llah was born in 1817 in Tehran, Persia, in present-day Iran. The word Baha means glory or splendor. The Baha'i faith rests on three core principles: unity of God, unity of religion, and unity of humankind. Approximately 7 million people today in many countries adhere to the Baha'i faith. Their scriptures are translated into 800 languages, and there are houses of worship in just about every corner of the world. Baha'i principles envision an ideal society. They are gender equality, elimination of all forms of prejudice, whether religious, racial, class, or national, harmony of religion and science, universal opportunity of education for all, a universal auxiliary language which all humanity can use to cooperate quickly with one another, a judicious world government, and the elimination of extremes of wealth and poverty. Many people, like the Baha'i followers, see a noble society as a real goal to be pursued in everyday life. Today we present the sage wisdom of Baha'u'llah with excerpts from the Holy Book, Gems of Divine Mysteries.
Gems of Divine Mysteries.
The essence of the divine mysteries in the journeys of ascent set forth for those who long to draw nigh unto God, the Almighty, the ever-forgiving, blessed be the righteous that quaff from these crystal streams. He is the Exalted, the Most High. Now that we have reached this most excellent theme and attained such lofty heights by virtue of that which hath flowed from this pen through the incomparable favors of God, the Exalted, the Most High, it is our wish to disclose unto thee certain stations in the wayfarer's journey towards his Creator. Perchance all that thine eminence hath desired may be revealed unto thee, that the proof may be made complete and the blessing abundant.
Know thou of a truth that the seeker must, at the beginning of his quest for God, enter the garden of search. In this journey it behoveth the wayfarer to detach himself from all save God, and to close his eyes to all that is in the heavens and on the earth. There must not linger in his heart either the hate or the love of any soul, to the extent that they would hinder him from attaining the habitation of the celestial beauty. He must sanctify his soul from the veils of glory, and refrain from boasting of such worldly vanities, outward knowledge, or other gifts as God may have bestowed upon him. He must search after the truth to the utmost of his ability and exertion, that God may guide him in the paths of his favor and the ways of his mercy. For he verily is the best of helpers unto his servants. He saith, and he verily speaketh the truth. Whoso maketh efforts for us in our ways shall we assuredly guide him.
In this journey the seeker becometh witness to a myriad changes and transformations, confluences and divergences. He beholdeth the wonders of divinity in the mysteries of creation, and discovereth the paths of guidance and the ways of his Lord. Such is the station reached by them that search after God, and such are the heights attained by those who hasten unto him.
When once the seeker hath ascended unto the station, he will enter the city of love and rapture, whereupon the winds of love will blow, and the breezes of the Spirit will waft. In this station the seeker is so overcome by the ecstasies of yearning, and the fragrances of longing, that he discerneth not his left from his right, nor doth he distinguish land from sea, or desert from mountain. At every moment he burneth with the fire of longing, and is consumed by the onslaught of separation in this world. He speedeth through the Paran of love, and traverseth the Horab, a mountain of Sinai of rapture. Now he laugheth, Now he weepeth sore, now he reposeth in peace, now he trembleth in fear. Nothing can alarm him, nought can thwart his purpose, and no law can restrain him. He standeth ready to obey whatsoever his Lord should please to decree as to his beginning and his end. With every breath he layeth down his life, and offereth up his soul. He yieldeth up spirit, soul, and body in the path of his Lord, and yet he doeth so by the leave of his beloved, and not of his own whim and desire. Thou findest him chill in the fire and dry in the sea, abiding in every land and treading every path. Whosoever toucheth him in this state will perceive the heat of his love. He walketh the heights of detachment and traverseth the vale of renunciation. His eyes are ever expectant to witness the wonders of God's mercy and eager to behold the splendors of his beauty. Blessed indeed are they that have attained unto such a station, for this is the station of the ardent lovers and the enraptured souls.
And when this stage of the journey is completed, and the wayfarer hath soared beyond this lofty station, he entereth the city of divine unity, and the garden of oneness, and the court of detachment. In this plane the seeker casteth away all signs, illusions, veils, and words, and beholdeth all things with an eye illumined by the effulgent lights which God himself hath shed upon him. In his journey he seeth all differences return to a single word, and all illusions culminate in a single point. Unto this beareth witness he who sailed upon the ark of fire and followed the inmost path to the pinnacle of glory in the realm of immortality. Knowledge is one point, which the foolish have multiplied. This is the station that hath been alluded to in the tradition, I am he himself, and he is I, myself, except that I am, and he is that he is.
In this station, were he who is the embodiment of the end to say, Verily I am the point of the beginning, he would indeed be speaking the truth. And were he to say, I am other than him, this would be equally true. Likewise, were he to proclaim, Verily I am the Lord of heaven and earth, or the King of kings, or the Lord of the realm, or Muhammad, or Ali, or their descendants, or aught else, he would indeed be proclaiming the truth of God. He verily ruleth over all created things, and standeth supreme above all beside him. Hast thou not heard what hath been said aforetime? Muhammad is our first, Muhammad our last, Muhammad our all. And elsewhere, they all proceed from the same light.
In this station, the truth of the unity of God and of the signs of his sanctity is established. Thou shalt indeed see them all rising above the bosom of God's might and embraced in the arms of his mercy. Nor can any distinction be made between his bosom and his arms. To speak of change or transformation in this plane would be sheer blasphemy and utter impiety, for this is the station wherein the light of divine unity shineth forth, and the truth of his oneness is expressed, and the splendors of the everlasting morn are reflected in lofty and faithful mirrors. By God, were I to reveal the full measure of that which he hath ordained for this station, the souls of men would depart from their bodies. The inner realities of all things would be shaken in their foundations. They that dwell within the realms of creation would be dumbfounded, and those who move in the lands of illusion would fade into utter nothingness.
Hast thou not heard? No change is there in God's creation. Hast thou not read? No change canst thou find in God's mode of dealing. Hast thou not borne witness to the truth? No difference will thou see in the creation of the God of mercy. Yea, by my Lord, they that dwell within this ocean, they that ride upon this ark, witness no change in the creation of God and behold no differences upon his earth. And if God's creation be not prone to change and alteration, how then could they who are the manifestations of his own being be subject to it? immeasurably exalted is God above all that we may conceive of the revealers of His cause, and immensely glorified is He beyond all that they may mention in His regard.
Great God, this sea hath laid up lustrous pearls in store. The wind hath raised a wave that casteth them ashore. So put away thy robe, and drown thyself therein, and cease to boast of skill, it serveth thee no more.
If thou be of the inmates of this city within the ocean of divine unity, thou wilt view all the prophets and messengers of God as one soul and one body, as one light and one spirit, in such wise that the first among them would be last, and the last would be first, for they have all arisen to proclaim His cause, and have established the laws of divine wisdom. They are one and all the manifestations of His self, the repositories of His might, the treasuries of His revelation, the dawning places of His splendor, and the daysprings of His light. Through them are manifested the signs of sanctity and the realities of all things, and the tokens of oneness in the essences of all beings. Through them are revealed the elements of glorification in the heavenly realities, and the exponents of praise in the eternal essences. From them have all creation proceeded, and unto them shall return all that have been mentioned. And since in their inmost beings they are the same luminaries and the self-same mysteries, thou shouldst view their outward conditions in the same light, that thou mayest recognize them all as one being, nay, find them united in their words, speech, and utterance.
Wert thou to consider in this station the last of them to be the first, or conversely, thou wouldst indeed be speaking the truth, as hath been ordained by Him who is the wellspring of divinity and the source of lordship. Say, call upon God, or call upon the All-Merciful, by whichsoever name ye will, invoke Him, for He hath most excellent names. For they are all the manifestations of the name of God, the dawning places of His attributes, the repositories of His might, and the focal points of His sovereignty. Whilst God, magnified be His might and glory, is in His essence sanctified above all names and exalted beyond even the loftiest attributes. Consider likewise the evidences of divine omnipotence both in their souls and in their human temples, that thine heart may be assured, and that thou mayest be of them that speed through the realms of His nearness.
I shall restate here my theme, that perchance this may assist thee in recognizing thy Creator. Know thou that God, exalted and glorified be He, doth in no wise manifest His inmost essence and reality. From time immemorial, He hath been veiled in the eternity of His essence and concealed in the infinitude of His own being. And when He purposed to manifest His beauty in the kingdom of names, and to reveal His glory in the realm of attributes, He brought forth His prophets from the invisible plane to the visible, that His name, the manifest, might be distinguished from the hidden, and His name, the last, might be discerned from the first, and that there may be fulfilled the words, He is the first and the last, the seen and the hidden, and He knoweth all things. Thus have they revealed these most excellent names and most exalted words in the manifestations of His self and the mirrors of His being.
It is therefore established that all names and attributes return unto these sublime and sanctified luminaries. Indeed, all names are to be found in their names, and all attributes can be seen in their attributes. Viewed in this light, if thou wert to call them by all the names of God, this would be true, as all these names are one and the same as their own being. Comprehend, then, the intent of these words, and guard it within the tabernacle of thy heart, that thou mayest recognize the implications of thine inquiry. Fulfill them according to that which God hath ordained for thee, and thus be numbered with those who have attained unto His purpose. Thank you for your company on today's episode of Between Master and Disciples, here on Supreme Master Television. Animal World, our co-inhabitants, is up next after Noteworthy News. Farewell, and God bless.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.